Stephen, we were talking about how excited you are to be living in these times right now, even though they seem pretty rough and disruptive for so many people.
I can't think of anything more exciting to do, but I mean, maybe that's because of my time as a monk.
That helps.
It teaches you to see life as it is and not so much as you don't want it to be, so to speak. And I think if we can all learn to do that, we can help, in a sense, calm this stuff down. I believe everything is set in motion, and we're going to see a flip, and we may see it before this year is out. We're going to see us flip in polarities from the way that we think, the way we feel, the way that we live, and life in and of itself. I mean, even if you take into consideration one of the most famous preserved mammoths ever recorded, the Borazikov mammoth, it was found totally frozen in a block of ice. Well, that's interesting, if for no other reason, that a mammoth is a vegetarian and they're warm-blooded and they shouldn't be in that kind of weather. Yet, that's where it was found.
Instantly frozen, too, wasn't it?
Flash frozen, absolutely. Yeah. It still had fresh buttercups in its mouth. It was like chewing on them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The Mayan calendar has been a fascination for me.
Okay.
2012. And a lot of people try to theorize, Stephen, on what it means, whether it's something of chaos, whether an asteroid is going to blast us. And they're just trying to figure out, what did the Mayans know? And then I saw a little cartoon last week that somebody sent me of two Mayans chipping away at a round rock. And one said, finish it. And the other one said, I can't. We're out of rock. So I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, right now we're all, and I really appreciate where you're coming from when you say what you have. I think most of us are being forced into our feelings, and that's, let's be realistic, us men aren't traditionally known to be feelers. That's the feminine attribute, and I love it when I hear these people talk about getting in touch with my feminine side.
Yeah.
I don't know about the cartoon. I think they had plenty of rock, and I'd also believe that they knew exactly what they were doing.
And I think they did finish it.
Yes, they did. They took it as far as they could. A couple of things I'd like to offer you first before we get there. October of 2004, I don't know if people were actually aware of it, I was doing a retreat in Colorado teaching people to meditate, and I think that's one of the things that's going to help us. But in October of 2004, the moon was the closest to the Earth that it's ever been, and it was huge. I mean, when you're in the Colorado Rockies and you got a full moon and it's just bigger than what it usually is, it's like, whoa.
It's like a 50-cent piece if you hold it at arm's length almost.
No, this was a silver dollar.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then, ironically, in November of 2004, astrologically speaking, a tetrahedron was formed by our own solar system. Tetrahedron, of course, is a six-sided star, part of which represents feminine nature, if you've ever read the Da Vinci Code, part of which also represents the masculine nature. And interestingly enough, they were overlaid in the stars, so that's the masculine and feminine coming into union. Now, if we take a look at the idea of the moon, it represents the feminine nature. Mars in 2005 was the closest to the Earth that it has ever been. And that represents two things, masculine nature, and is also known as the war planet.
Good point.
Okay. So now what we have is feminine nature represented by the planets, Mars representing the masculine nature, coming to the closest to the Earth as it can, and you have the tetrahedron being formed in the night sky in between the two. So what we're seeing is a unification of energy field. And when we look at the Mayan calendar, here's my take on it. And some of this comes from a gentleman by the name of John Major Jenkins.
Oh, sure. I had John on about a month and a half ago.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
He has an incredible insight. Let's look at a couple of things, just rapid fire here. One, the long count of the Mayans is based on a 360-day year. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
With you.
The Mayan calendar is approximately 3,000 years old. Well, we already know if it's based on a 360-day year, and we know that it's 365, actually a half, that if you take the 3,000 years multiply it by 5, you've got 15,000 days missing. If you divide that by 365, you have 4 years and 2 months, so it's no longer 2012. The issue with the Mayan calendar is, where is zero? Where did they begin? What is zero hour? What's zero day, and where are we going to?
Because that has a big difference then in the end.
Absolutely does. And then when you factor in, you see, when we started looking at the Mayan calendar and we came up with the date of 2012, we based it on our modern standards and kind of threw the Mayan idea right out the window. And they still, even to this day, and I think John would echo this, we to this day still haven't figured out totally what all the metaphorical messages that the Mayans are attempting to give us.
Well, how did they get to the point where they were able to even give us information? I mean, were they that advanced?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These people were absolutely, totally phenomenal. I mean, you know, we talk about them committing sacrifices and so on and so on. There's no documentation to that. I believe, even if you take into consideration the idea of just the Mayan calendar alone, that is, do you realize that's one of the most accurate calendars ever produced? Look at our modern atomic clocks. Do you realize we have to reset those once every year by a quarter of a second or
Absolutely.
A half a second?
No, you're right.
You know what? This thing has never been reset. We could literally say, pardon my pun, it's set in stone.
How did they know?
Well, they just decided to watch the stars and took into consideration the wobble of the Earth. These people were pretty brilliant.
Yeah, but they must have been told something, Stephen.
Now we go to the Nazca plane, don't we?
Yes, we do, because they didn't. The Mayans didn't have equipment. They didn't have technology, I don't think.
Well, are we so sure?
No, I guess we're not.
Okay. Well, all we can do is we can look back historically, and we can say, they did this, they did that. And I just love to watch this stuff on National Geographic when they come up with all of these suppositions, and they make them as statements of fact. How do they know has always been my question. How do you know that? You don't. And the idea of metaphysics says there's more to it than meets the eye. And then we take a look at the Nazca Plains. Excuse me a second, but there's only one way you can see all those formations, and that's from up in the air. Now, if you can only see it from up in the air, how can you draw it on the ground without knowing where you were going, your start point, end point? Which takes us right back to the idea of Mayan calendar, start point, end point.